Have you ever had such a rough day that you just couldn't wait to go to bed and get a fresh start in the morning? Sort of like that big red reset button that Staples produces. You can actually buy. You've had such a terrible day, you want to just hit it. Go to bed, start over, the new day. This morning, as we continue our study through the book of Jonah, we're going to see a new day come into the lives of those who were impacted the most by Jonah and his sin. I would imagine when they heard that Jonah was the reason for the storm that was really threatening their own lives there in the Mediterranean Sea, they wanted that big red reset button to hit it, start over again, as if it never happened. But we're going to see that there is a new day coming for the sailors in that ship as we come to the verses that'll be our text today. Do you remember what we've seen so far here in the first chapter of Jonah? What have we seen? We have seen God in hot pursuit of some people. First, we learned that God was pursuing Jonah. Why? Because Jonah was a disobedient and wayward prophet. Jonah had run away from God and his mission for him, so God pursued him. He sent a great wind, a great storm to get his attention, and he got Jonah's attention. In fact, if you look with me in verse 9 of this same chapter, Jonah admits to the sailors there on the ship, "Finally, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." And later on in the same chapter, we see that Jonah was even willing to risk his life, to lose his life, in order to save the rest of the sailors on that ship that was heading to Tarshish. So God got Jonah's attention, but now God is pursuing those sailors. You see, as we've explored the last few verses here lately, is that they needed God as well. They needed God's help in this storm, and in fact, they needed God's help from their own sin and idolatry. So God uses the same storm and the same wind to get their attention, to wake them up as well. And I think in this text that we come to this morning, we're going to see that he did. Because in verse 14, we begin reading, again, the storm is still becoming even more furious upon Jonah and those sailors after the sailors had tried everything they knew to overcome the storm. And in verse 14, what do? They cry to the Lord. "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. In the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, there was a revival on that ship. A prophet was being restored to his service. And here we have some sailors, some pagan, idolatrous sailors that now were being rescued, not just from a storm, but even rescued from their sin because God, in his grace, pursued them and would not let them go. You see, God could have said, hands off on those sailors after Jonah was thrown overboard. But no, God continued to pursue those sailors until they had a new day in their life as well. A new day. Not in terms of time, because we're not sure when all this took place during that day, but it was a new day in terms of eternity for them. And we find their lives, the lives of these sailors, reflecting the truth found in 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, "Therefore, if any man," it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, a man or a woman, doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, "if any person, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And when these sailors finally listened to Jonah's instructions, remember what his instructions were there in verse 12? Jonah told these sailors, "If you want peace in this storm, do this. Take me up. Cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you." And as soon as they did that, they were waking up to God. And as they were waking up to God and His provision for them and His salvation of them, it became a new day for them in their hearts as well. And I want us to learn this morning that when a person, any person, is awakened by God, it will be a new day for them as well. It will be a new day for you if you are awakened to the Word of God. And in these verses, we are going to see what it looks like. What it really looks like when you have been truly awakened and revived by God. The first thing we see is that there will be a new kind of prayer when you are awakened by God. Just like the sailors. A brand new kind of prayer. How did the sailors pray before? Well, let's jump back into this chapter and look at verses 4 and 5, because this is how they prayed before when that storm came. Verse 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, probably unlike anything that they had ever faced in their life, so that the ship was like to be broken, and the mariners were afraid." Those sea-hardened sailors were afraid of the storm, so what did they do? They cried every man unto his God. Small g, little g God. They're idols. These sailors were idolaters. And they prayed to every god they could think of to help them, but they received no answer. They received no answer from these gods. Why? Because they were idols. They had no ears to hear. They had no mouth to speak. They had no power to do anything. But when God got their attention through these storms, there was a new kind of prayer in their mouths. And we see this new kind of prayer right there in verse 14. "Now they start crying unto the Lord." And if you look at this, in some of your versions and translations, it has a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You know what that means? That is the personal name of the one true God. It can also be translated Jehovah or Yahweh. This is the personal God of Jacob, the personal God of David, the personal God of Jonah, and the personal God who created all of this world. And now, they're not praying to their other gods, they're praying to this one true God. They cried unto the Lord. They cried unto the Lord. And they said, "We beseech Thee, O Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, we beseech Thee." What kind of prayer was this? It was a new kind of prayer that came to their mouth. It was an effectual prayer, an effective prayer. Instead of everybody crying to their own God, now they cried unto the Lord, the one true God. The God of Jonah, who described him in verse 9 as the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. You see, now their prayers could work. Now their prayers were effectual because they were true prayers. They were true prayers because they were prayed to the one true God. The only God who could hear them. And the only God who could even help them through that storm. Now Jonah may have been the reason for this storm, but now the sailors are coming to know who was the ultimate cause of the storm. It was Jehovah. It was the Lord, the one true God, and now they're praying to Him. It was a new kind of prayer for them. It was an effectual prayer, a prayer that could be heard and a prayer that could be answered. And I think we also see from the language of this prayer, it was also a very earnest prayer. An earnest prayer, a passionate prayer. Listen to how they prayed. They say, "We beseech Thee, O Lord. We beseech Thee." Have you ever prayed to the Lord in that way? Maybe there was some storm in your life, some person has hurt you, or maybe there is some disease in your life, or maybe someone you love passed away, and you had an earnest prayer to God. "Lord, I beseech You, I beseech You." Imagine what these sailors were feeling. They were feeling crushed, hemmed in on every side by the swirling sea. The ship must have felt smaller and smaller and smaller, to the point that they were completely overwhelmed. They were surrounded. There was no hope. There was no help. They couldn't go anywhere else. They were at their wits' end. So what do? The only thing that someone in that situation must do, they poured out their hearts to the Lord. They cried out to Him earnestly and passionately. They prayed the kind of prayer we read about in Psalm 61:2, which tells us, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee." These men, these sailors, felt like they were at the end of the earth. It goes on in Psalm 61:2, says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You see, this was a new kind of prayer for them. It was an earnest prayer. And they knew that there was someone who could finally help them and hear them. It was an earnest prayer. And that is the kind of prayer that comes from a renewed and awakened heart. You see, if God had not turned the light on in their mind and awakened them from their sleep and from their sin, they could have never prayed in this way. They could have never prayed in an earnest and effectual way. A new day came in the life of those men and women who God used to bring about a great awakening in our own country just before the Revolutionary War. During that same time period, there was a spiritual desert. I mean, we think about the pilgrims coming. We think about all the strong people that may have been known the Lord at that time. But there came a point where people were falling away from God. They were ignoring God. They were like Jonah, fleeing from God. But the very first thing that started any kind of awakening or revival was prayer. And when they started praying effectually, when they started praying earnestly, there was a new day, a new awakening, a spiritual awakening that God used to prepare this nation. You see, this is the kind of prayer that comes from an awakened heart. Is this the kind of prayer that we pray? Do we pray effectual prayers? Prayers that work, prayers that are effective, not because of what we say, but because of who we know. Because we know the one true God, and are our prayers earnest? Sometimes we pray in a way that is not earnest. We say the same words for the same things at the same time. We pray for our meals, and that's about it. When we are truly awakened, like Jonah was awakened, like these sailors were awakened, we will have a new kind of prayer that is earnest and effectual. And that is the kind of prayer we need. Maybe today you need to pray, God, awaken me. Awaken me like you did these sailors so I can have this new kind of prayer in my mouth. What else will happen when the Lord awakens you? There will also, second, be a new kind of pursuit. A new kind of pursuit when you are awakened and revived by God, just like these sailors. A new kind of pursuit. What did the sailors pursue before? Well, I think in this chapter we see that they were pursuing their own security, their own preservation. Do you remember after they found out that Jonah was the reason for their danger? In verse 11, they ask him, "What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us?" What they wanted was peace for them. What they wanted was security and preservation for them. They just wanted to survive. They wanted to get out of the storm. They wanted to set their feet back on land. But you know, when God got their attention through this storm, there was a new kind of pursuit. It wasn't just to survive the trials of this life. Now there was a new pursuit, and we see this in their prayer in verse 14. In their prayer they said, passionately again, "We beseech Thee, O Lord, we beseech Thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For Thou, O Lord, Jehovah, You have done as it pleased Thee." You see, after these sailors realized that their only choice was to follow Jonah's instructions to throw him overboard, guess what they pursued? They pursued the principles of God. And one principle in particular, that was the principle of His righteousness. Have you ever had a dilemma, a moral dilemma, where if you went one direction, it seems like you would be guilty of one thing. And if you went another direction, you feel like you'd be guilty of another. Here we have the sailors in a major dilemma. You see, if they kept Jonah on the ship, they would die from the storm. It was clear to them. They had tried everything. They dug those oars in. And they couldn't fight this storm. And they knew if they kept Jonah in the ship, they would die from the storm. And they would be guilty of disobeying God's will. God had shown to them through the word of Jonah, through the circumstances, that they had to listen to what He said. And if they didn't, they were disobeying. But if they threw Jonah from the ship, they felt now that they could even face the judgment of God themselves, because they would be guilty of an act which normally could be considered murder. If you throw someone overboard in the middle of a storm, that's a crime. They didn't want to do that. They have seen what God does to Jonah, and they didn't want to receive the judgment hand of God upon them for throwing His prophet overboard. You see, they weren't just concerned about their lives now. They weren't just pursuing after preservation. They were concerned about their souls. If you look at this verse, it wasn't just about being alive. It was about being alive forever. They were concerned about their souls. They were also concerned about the life and soul of Jonah, and that's a good thing. You see, in Mark 8:37, Jesus Himself asked this question, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The soul is the most valuable thing. And this was what they were concerned for. And so what did they do? They came to the only one who could help them in this dilemma as well. They came to the Lord to receive His permission to do this. And they came to the Lord to receive His clearing from throwing Jonah overboard. Because now they had a new pursuit. They were pursuing after the principle of God's own righteousness. And if there's an awakened heart, that is one of the evidences. You want to do what's right. You want to hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake. And that is what is going on in their life. Otherwise, they would have just pitched them overboard. But no, God was showing them the principle of righteousness, and now they were pursuing it, holiness and righteousness and justice. But you know, that's the complete opposite of a time in the life of Jesus, which we hear echoes of. At the trial that Jesus had before Pontius Pilate, listen to what it says in Matthew 27:24. Jesus Himself standing before Pilate, and when Pilate saw that He could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, what did Pilate do? He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And what did the people say? Then answered all the people, and said, "His blood, the blood of Jesus, be on us and on our children." What a contrast between the sailors who were awakened by God and Pilate and the people that Jesus Himself had ministered to. The sailors did not want to shed innocent blood, and so they sought the permission of God and they sought clearing from God. But here, Pilate and these people did not care about shedding the blood of the most innocent one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they thought and they tried that they could just clear themselves, washing their hands with water, thinking everything will be okay. But who would be cleared by God? Only the sailors. Because not only were they pursuing the principle of God and His righteousness, they were also pursuing the purpose of God. And what was God's purpose? The purpose of His will. You see, now they believed that the Lord was the one true God. Now they knew that God was in complete control. In fact, in their own prayer to the Lord, in verse 14, they say this. The last part of verse 14, "For Thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased Thee." Now they believed that Jonah's God was the Creator God. Now they knew that Jonah's God was the judge of all of the earth. And now they knew and believed that the Lord alone could be their Savior, because they recognized that nothing happened by chance. When Jonah first stepped foot in that ship, it was not by chance. When they got further away from the land, it was not by chance. It was no accident that that storm came upon them. It was no accident that the lot fell on Jonah. And it was no accident that God said, "You need to throw him overboard in order for you to be safe." Everything was according to the will and pleasure of God. And they were now ready to obey. They were now ready to be the agents of divine justice and fulfill God's will with their own hand. And do you know that that is the kind of pursuit that comes from a renewed and an awakened heart? A renewed heart is going to pursue after the things of God. A new pursuit. A new day came into the life of a man named John Newton. John Newton was once a captain of a ship, much like these sailors. But the ship that he was captain of was a slave ship. And he would go and take slaves from Africa and transport them all over the world to sell them. A terrible sin, a terrible crime against humanity. And what we find is that when God awakened John Newton's heart and John Newton's life, he changed. And no longer was he pursuing unrighteousness and sin. Now he was pursuing after righteousness and the will of God. to the point where he would share the gospel with everyone that he could think of and minister the gospel to his own church family, and was instrumental in bringing about the end of the slave trade in England. Why? Because God had awakened him, and there was a change, and there was a change in his pursuit, to the point where he would even write the line, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And these sailors would have recognized that as well. We deserve what Jonah got, but we're thankful for the grace and the mercy of God. Is this the kind of pursuit that you have? A pursuit after God. A pursuit after His righteousness and His holiness. A pursuit after His will. Does Psalm 42, 1 and 2 reflect your heart's desire? "As the hart, as the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" That is the kind of pursuit that we need, just like those sailors had. A third thing that we see in the sailors' lives is that there will also be a new kind of peace when you are awakened by God. A new kind of peace, just like those sailors. Now, during this storm, a storm that they had never seen before, the sailors had absolutely no peace. There was no peace in that ship. It was rocking back and forth. And do you know that there was also no peace in their hearts? You see, all they wanted was it to stop. They wanted the sea to be calm unto them once again so that they could return to their crews. They could go back to their business. They could go back and try to recoup some of the cargo that they may have lost and go on their merry way. But when God got their attention through the storm, there was a new kind of peace. And we see it there in verse 15. "Finally, God had gotten their attention, they had listened to Jonah's words, and they're obeying according to God's will, and they took up Jonah, they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging." What a miracle. What an absolute miracle of God. Instantly, as soon as he is thrown overboard, they have their wish, they have their desire. They experienced a peace through trust. A peace through trust. These sailors finally believed that Jonah's solution, pick him up, throw him overboard, was the only way for them to be saved from that storm. And they finally listened. They finally obeyed. They took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And they followed Jonah's instructions carefully and completely. I can see a few of the sailors taking him by his arms, and a few taking him by his legs, carefully, not with anger, not with malice, but with fear of God and fear about what might happen to the soul of Jonah. And as they put him overboard, they're wondering what's going to become of this man and what's going to become of them, because he was their only chance. And yet that is the kind of trust that God desires and that God rewards with peace. You see, these sailors committed themselves fully to God's plan. They were all in. They put their hands on him, they threw him over, and that was it. And they trusted that Jonah's death would be God's way of saving them from the storm. That was the only hope they had. As soon as they threw Jonah overboard, the Bible says, the sea ceased from her raging. It was as if the sea itself had been angry and mad. You can imagine the sea, the tempest, and the waves hitting against that ship with teeth and ferocity. But now, Jonah hit the water, and it was satisfied at the sacrifice of Jonah. It was calm. The wrath is over. They had peace. But then we also learn that the sailors had a peace that teaches. A peace that teaches them. The immediate peace that they had from the storm taught them more about the one true God that they prayed to. It taught them about His power to bring the peace that they needed. And it teaches us about the power of God to bring peace that we need as well. I'd like us to look over at another time in Jesus' life that really this episode in the life of Jonah reminds us of. Keep your finger here in Jonah chapter 1 and go over with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And if you look at verse 35, and we read, "At the same day, When the evening was come in the life of Jesus and his disciples, he said unto his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. We have another time. We have another sea. We have another ship. Look at this, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into that ship, so that it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he, Jesus, arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? This is the kind of peace that comes to a renewed and an awakened heart. The kind of peace that the disciples experienced in the life of Jesus, and the same kind of peace that the sailors had when they threw Jonah overboard. This is what happens when a sinner takes hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is far greater than Jonah, and realizes that the death of Jesus is the sacrifice that satisfies the anger and wrath of God towards sin. And then Jesus can bring about a great calm, just like he said, Peace, be still. There was a new day in the life of a man that I spoke to many years ago. He was in the twilight of his life. And I remember going door to door and speaking to people. And he was a man that invited us into his home. Not very much in this home. Kind of dirty. Kind of dingy. But I remember a friend of mine, we were able to share with him the hope that Jesus Christ can give. And the peace that he offers. Peace be still. And I remember after he prayed and asked and invited the Lord Jesus to save his soul, even at age 75 or 80 years old, he looked up and he said with a smile on his face, I'm like a kid with a new toy. And I don't think this man had played with toys for decades. But now he had a toy. And that toy was not something that you just play with, but it was a peace in his heart. That peace is the kind that he was able to provide. Is that the kind of peace that we have in our hearts? A peace that comes from our trust in the Lord, and a peace that teaches us more about the Lord. Remember Isaiah 26:3 that says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That is shalom, shalom. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Is your mind stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ? One thing that you see in these three verses back in Jonah chapter 1 is that the sailors had their mind on God, on the Lord. How do we know this? Because in these three verses, the personal name of God, Jehovah, Lord, is actually found some five times. Look at those with me. Going back to Jonah chapter 1 in verse 14, Wherefore they cried unto who? The Lord. And then they prayed and said, We beseech thee who? O Lord. You go on down, he says, For thou, who, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Coming down to verse 16, which will be here in a moment, they made a sacrifice unto, or they feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. The reason why they had peace in that storm and peace in their heart was because their mind was stayed on God. And that is a day of change. This is the kind of peace that we need, just like the sailors had. But you know also, as we come to verse 16, that there will also be a new kind of passion when you are awakened by God. A new kind of passion, just like those sailors had. And this passion was driven by a new fear. A new fear we see in verse 16. It says, Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Now wait a second. The storm's over. They're at peace, they're at calm, they're safe now, and yet their fear of God was exceeding. It was great. It was a new kind of fear. If you look back at verse 10, the fear that we find that they had of God first was a fear of God. Their fear in verse 10 was of God. They were afraid of what God would do to them. And that kind of fear can result in salvation, which seems to have done in their life. It's okay for men to be afraid of God. If that fear drives them to a faith and trust in God to save them from that fear and to save them from their sin. And we see that transition there in verse 16 because now their fear was in God. The men feared the Lord exceedingly. Now they feared Him because of what He did for them. And that is always the kind of fear that results from salvation. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the kind of fear that you should have. Proverbs 14:27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." If you fear of the Lord, that what He might do to you, let that drive you to the Lord. And then when He saves you and you see His grace, you see His mercy, you see what He's done for you, let that fear be now a fear in Him. A fear and a reverence and a respect and a love and an adoration that will drive you to new passions for Him. You see, that kind of fear drove them to a new kind of passion. A passion in verse 16 to worship that Lord. To worship the Lord. What did they do with that fear? The men feared the Lord exceedingly, and what? They offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. That was real worship taking place on that ship. Now, they obviously didn't throw everything overboard. They had some animals that they could use for a sacrifice. It's possible in the language here they may have waited till they got back to shore to offer a sacrifice. But it doesn't matter when. What does matter is what they did. They didn't have all the rules and regulations perhaps that the Jews had on sacrifice. But what they knew is they had to worship God. And so they took an animal and they sacrificed it and they shed its blood. But they offered the sacrifice not to appease God in His wrath like they would have done for their other gods. Because the storm was already over. God had already kept His promise to them. But now they were offering this sacrifice to thank Him. To thank Him and to worship Him. Do you realize when God awakens and renews your heart, you will have a passion to worship Him? A passion to worship God. A passion to respond in your heart to who He is and what He's done. To thank Him and to praise Him. Christians ought to be the greatest singing group in this world. Why? Because it wells up in our heart the gratitude and the praise that we have to Him. We ought to have our churches filled with people that are worshiping God because of what He's done for them. But the reason why we don't is because they haven't truly been awakened and revived. This is what we need. This is why we're here. To have a renewed passion in worshiping God. But there was also a passion to walk with God. What else did they do in verse 16? It further tells us that these sailors not just made a sacrifice, but they also made vows. What is a vow? It's a promise, isn't it? It's a commitment. A few weeks ago, we went to the renewal of the vows of the Kesslers. We had an enjoyable time. But when you vow a vow, you're making a promise and a commitment to someone. You say, "I am casting aside everyone else, and I am giving my life and my love to You." And that's exactly what's going on in these sailors' lives. It's a new promise and a new commitment to the Lord, the one true God that they came to know, and their Savior. You see, now they had a desire to know the Lord more. They desired to serve Him and to please Him, so they made vows to Him, which is further evidence of God working in their hearts. One thing I love to see at the Harvest Teen Rally, which we went to last weekend, was when teenagers are speaking with others, other counselors or other adults, and it may not just be about salvation, and of course that's exciting, that's great news, but even young people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and yet they realize they need to rededicate themselves because they don't have the passion like they once did. And they need to be renewed, and they need to be revived, and often they make new vows. They make new commitments to God. That's further evidence of God working in their hearts. When God awakens and renews your heart, you too will have a passion to walk with God more. To know Him more. To serve Him more, not less. And to please Him with all your heart. But I believe there was another passion. And that was a passion that is not written in this particular text, but I think it's implied in these verses. And what is it? It was a passion to witness for their Lord. The question came to mind as I was reading this is, how would Jonah know what was going on in that ship when he wrote this book? Remember where Jonah was? He's in the water now. He doesn't know what's going on top of that ship while he's sinking deep into the depths of the sea. Now, of course, it could have been directly revealed to him by God. Absolutely. But it also could have been directly shared by those sailors on that ship, don't you think? Perhaps that was even more likely. When these sailors finally got their land legs, they would have spread the news of God's grace and salvation to them all over the world. Not just in Israel, not just back in Joppa, but even into Tarshish, Spain perhaps. All over the world, wherever they would go. And maybe they eventually heard about Jonah and his own rescue from the sea. Perhaps they even met him once again to tell him their story. Jonah, did you hear what happened to us? As Psalm 107:31 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And I believe that's what those sailors did with that news and with that grace. You see, it's that kind of passion that will come with a renewed and an awakened heart. Do you know that it was a new day in the life of a man who was possessed by many demons? In Mark chapter 5, we find Jesus going over the Sea of Galilee and meeting up with this man who was possessed by many demons. And after he cast them out, this man came into the ship, and he that had been possessed with the devil prayed to Jesus that he might be with him. Listen to what Jesus said. "Jesus suffered him not, and saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And that is exactly what that man did. Is that the kind of passion that you have when you are awakened by God and realize His grace and mercy and love to you? A new kind of worship. A new kind of desire to walk with Him and to dedicate your life to Him. A new witness for Him. You see, this was a new day for the sailors in that ship, because I believe they were awakened to life. Life that comes through God and His own Son, Jesus Christ. Through the only one who could give them true peace. Not just peace from a storm, but eternal peace from their own sin. Is this the kind of day that has dawned in your life? And if it has, perhaps you're a Christian today. Do you need to be reawakened? Do you need to be renewed and revived? So often we say that we are seeking after revival, or we need revival. This is what revival looks like. This is what an awakening looks like in a person's life. You know what we must do? We must look again to the God who saved the sailors and the God who saved us. Instead of taking hold on Jonah like the sailors had to do, we must take hold on Jesus afresh and remember Him and trust in Him and look to Him. Like Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I want you to know, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the faith. Do you know that a new day can dawn in your heart as well? You need to realize that you need to be awakened and revived. But you can have prayers that are revived. You can have prayers that are effectual and earnest once again. Your pursuit can be revived. You can pursue after God and His righteousness and His will once again. That's what we need to do. Your peace can be revived. The kind of peace that is told to us in Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, that can keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I want you to know that your passion can be revived. Maybe you feel like it's gone cold in your heart, and you feel like there's no spark there anymore. Your passion can be revived to worship the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to witness for the Lord in a greater way. May this be our prayer today, that He will awaken us in this church, just like He awakened those sailors in that boat, so that we can have that revival in our heart. And this can be the proof, this can be the evidence that people will say they have been with God. There's been a change in their life. There's a renewal in their heart. They've been awakened. May that take place in our church today. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for what You did in the lives of those sailors. Thank You that we see that when Jonah was flung overboard, You didn't stop Your work on that boat. In fact, You glorified Your work in that boat. You took those men and You showed them who You were. And they came to You in faith, trusting trusting in the only solution that you provided, which later on we see is a picture of Jesus Christ. And they looked to the Lord who could only save. Oh Lord, I thank you for that awakening. And I pray, oh Lord, that you will help us to see ourselves on that ship. There may be some here, Lord, who have never been awakened to the truth of the gospel. They have never truly understood what Jesus did on the cross when he died for them and their sin. Oh Lord, I pray that they will take hold of him and realize that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and that no man comes unto the Father but through him. They've got to stop relying on their own efforts. They've got to stop paddling their own ship. And they need to cling to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, O Lord, that you awaken them today, that today will be the day of their salvation. But Lord, I know that there are many here who are believers, and yet they have still been slumbering. They feel like the past is beyond them. They feel like what they have done is it. Perhaps they have not seen answers to their prayer like they would hope. Perhaps they've been discouraged by other situations and storms in their life. Help them to see that these storms are there for you to awaken them. No matter who we are, no matter what gender we are, no matter how old we are, no matter where we are at in our life, no matter what we're facing in our life, you are trying to wake us up and revive us so that there'll be a new day. A new day like there was in the sailors. And, oh Lord, I pray that you will wake us up. And I pray that there will be a new kind of prayer in our mouth. There will be a new kind of pursuit in our life. There will be a new kind of peace in our hearts. And, Lord, there will be that new kind of passion for you and for others to know you. I pray, oh Lord, that we will be awakened by you today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.